And welcome to AFWEB Audio. Heads up for a special AFWEB Biz Audio cast this Wednesday with NBAA President Ed Bolin and some listener comments at the end of today's report. Today's audio cast for Monday, November 5th, 2007, brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Well, we don't know how many lives a tiger can have, but Grumman's venerable four-play single is getting another shot at success thanks to a Valdosta, Georgia company. True Flight Aerospace is planning a 60,000-square-foot plant at the airport there and hopes to have its first aircraft off the line by next summer. AFWEB's Russ Niles talked to CEO Kevin Lancaster about his plans to succeed with the tiger where others have failed.
A big day in Valdosta yesterday. Tell me what you were talking about to the local folks.
Okay, yesterday we did have a great event in Valdosta. It was a chance for the city to come together with the county and the airport authority to welcome True Flight Aerospace to the Valdosta area. We're going to be building a 60,000-square-foot facility for manufacturing Tiger aircraft.
Okay, well, you bought the assets for Tiger several months ago, and we tried to get you on a podcast then, but you weren't quite ready. What have you been doing in the meantime?
That's right. When we first talked, we had just gotten notice from the trustee that we were going to be able to purchase the assets, and we're in the process of selecting a site. We visited sites all over the southeast and looked at a lot of different possible locations and settled on Valdosta. One reason for it, because it's a very good central location in the, well, not in the state, but in the region. We've got I-75 coming down one side of the town, and just south of us is Interstate 10, so if we need to go all the way to California on 10, we've got access to materials and supplies on that corridor, and anything on the East Coast can come down I-75 or I-95 to come into Valdosta. Valdosta is also the home of Moody Air Force Base, and there are a great number of retired military people here who are aviation savvy, understand an aviation project to some degree, and of course we have a lot of those retired folks who are very interested in helping us build the aircraft. So we have a good labor pool, we have a very good standard of living in Valdosta, and just seemed like the natural place to company.
Okay, well, why the tiger?
Well, the tiger is something I'm passionate about, and you may can hear it in my voice. I hope you can. I have owned two tigers. In fact, before I even had my pilot's license, I had bought my first tiger. I encountered a tiger flying into Atlanta PDK one day. I was flying with one of my business associates, and it passed us going the other direction coming out of PDK. And I asked him, "What is that? That's a neat-looking aircraft." And he said, "That's a Tiger." I said, "What is that, about 100-knot, 110-knot airplane?" He said, "No, man, that's a slick little plane. That's a 100 and probably 130, 140-knot plane." And I was impressed. I asked him a little more about it, and he told me it was a 180-horsepower plane. And I did the math on that, and I figured out that's more efficient than the SUV I was driving at the time. But I could do 160 of those miles in 1 hour. So I thought, you know, that's a neat airplane to look into. And when I got back to my home base and started talking with my CFI, who was teaching me to fly, he took me around and showed me a Tiger that was based on the field, and I just got to look into them, and I figured out, just by doing the math, that it was the most bang for the buck out there on the market. And before long, I had purchased one, and a little while later, I had a friend who was in a situation that he needed to liquidate his Tiger, so I bought the second Tiger. I had two of them at the same time, actually, and my wife decided if we were going to have airplanes that she was going to learn to fly, so she started doing her flight instruction in the Tiger and learned to fly the Tiger and became as excited about it as I am. And I think probably that initial experience with the Tiger showed us what a great aircraft it was. And the thing that just blew me away was how economical the plane was to own. It's a simple aircraft, but it's a very quick aircraft for 180 horsepower with a fixed-pitch prop and fixed gear. In fact, you know, it's faster than a lot of retractables. I'm sorry, not to get into a sales pitch here, but that's just the way I feel about the plane.
Well, you better be doing a sales pitch, because that's got to be your focus coming up. Many have tried, and all have failed, to revive the Tiger line. What's going to make True Flight different?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Literally. I'll tell you this, there's going to be a lot of things different. We have been doing a tremendous amount of research on the market and research into the history of the airplane, talking with owners of existing aircraft, potential buyers of aircraft, and finding out what it is exactly that they like about the Tiger, what it is that they don't like about the Tiger. And what we find is there's a whole lot that they like, very little that they don't like, except that they want to know that the company is going to be around. They want to know that it's not an orphaned plane, and that when they need parts, they're going to be able to get parts. Now, I'll tell you, when I bought both of my Tigers, the company was, they were not producing new airplanes then. In fact, in Martinsburg, they were just getting started at that time. But I never had any parts issues. There are some great suppliers out there who always kept us in supplies, and we're working with those guys, and we're going to be helping support the existing fleet also. But beyond that, one of the things that they set forward to do in Martinsburg was to certify the aircraft for foreign markets and to focus largely on those markets. Anyone who followed Tiger and its marketing strategy, there was not a whole lot of effort put into domestic sales. I think that was a mistake that they made, and I think they probably realized that towards the end, and they brought in a new team to help sell the aircraft and to help build the business toward the end. And actually, when they shut down, they had orders on the books with deposits and had cash in the bank. It was a case where they were simply defunded by their owners in Taiwan, which, without going into a whole lot of detail on the politics in Taiwan, it was essentially a government-backed project that was defunded.
You basically bought a turnkey operation. How fast can you start building airplanes, and how many do you want to build?
I liken this to starting up a franchise, which I have a good bit of experience in. You know, with a franchise, you already have a team that's trained. You have people who know what to do. You simply have to build the facility, bring in the tooling, bring in the expertise. Our processes have already been FAA approved, of course, and certified, so we don't have to do that. The G1000, Garmin G1000, is already certified in aircraft, so we don't have to go through the loops to get that done. A lot of that has been done already for us, and so, yes, as a pseudo turnkey operation, we'll bring a core of the people who know how to build the plane from the Martinsburg operation, and they'll train our folks here in Valdosta, and we'll get up and running. Hopefully, we're going to have our first plane coming out by midsummer. That's a fast, fast time frame, which I'm sure you're aware of, Russ, in the aviation business, to start up from building a building and have a plane out the door in what's essentially, 9 months from now, 9-10 months from now. But that's our goal, and we think we can do it.
What's reaction been in the industry and locally in Valdosta?
In Valdosta, I was just blown away yesterday. We had nearly 200 people that came out for what was basically just an industry announcement. We weren't cutting a ribbon yesterday. We weren't breaking ground. We sent out invitations to a lot of the local business leaders and community movers and shakers, and they came out just to show their support for the project. The governor's office has stepped forward and has provided some funding for us, for the airport to build infrastructure to help our project get going. So we've just been very pleased about that. In fact, Governor Perdue, Sonny Perdue, here in Georgia, is an aviation enthusiast. In fact, I first met him when he was initially running for governor. He flew in his Belanca that he owns on one of his campaign stops. So he's an aviator and has been a big supporter of general aviation. And so that was another thing that drew us to Georgia. Industry-wide, I would say that that people love this aircraft. I've gotten emails and calls from 5 different continents. Everything from, I've had people in Alaska calling, I've had people from Canada calling, I know those aren't continents, but from Australia calling, I've had people from Europe calling. These are people that are interested in stepping forward to distribute the aircraft because they have been associated with the aircraft at some time in the past and know a lot about it and understand the market. It does exist for the plane. And that was one of my big questions. Did this company deserve another chance? Was it worth saving? And after spending probably 6 to 8 months of studying it, looking at the numbers, I believe that the answer to that is yes, it does deserve saving and it does deserve another chance.
Hey, that's Kevin Lancaster, CEO of True Flight Aerospace, bringing back the Tiger again. I actually owned a Tiger for 4 years. I absolutely loved that airplane, so I'll be cheering these guys on. Hey, you may have read on AvWeb that Precision Air Motive stopped shipping carburetors and replacement parts last Wednesday because insurance costs have become prohibitive. Be sure to download our bonus audio cast for today covering that story. Now some listener comments. Audio listener Joe wrote in to say, I felt a bit deceived with the podcast regarding the book Secrets from the Tower. I listened to hear a few war stories that might entice me to buy the book. Instead, I heard the same old dribble about ATC staff shortages, something I've heard much more about over the years, the ATC union talking points, and frankly, I don't believe I can do anything about it. Well, Joe, we do appreciate that. Comments are duly noted. Your comments on this audiocast welcome also at audionews@avweb.com. This report was brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for a special midweek AvWeb Biz audio cast on Wednesday, November 7th. I'm Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.